Series that we started last week, and it's called Pictures. And you know, our stage is decorated. This kind of played right into that. We didn't plan it, but pictures. And we're looking at pictures in the Old Testament of the work of Christ, pictures of Christ. And we're discovering that God is a God of patterns. God is a God of consistency. One thing that you need to know is that you can depend on God always being consistent. He's always consistent. He's always the same. You know what? Now, we're not supposed to always be the same. We're supposed to be changing. Well, why does God not change? If He wants us to change, why doesn't He change? He don't need to. When you're perfect, if you changed, you wouldn't be perfect anymore. And He's perfect. So, are you perfect? Is anybody here? I'm looking at you. Robbie said he's not perfect. he's not perfect. So we have to be, we have to what? We have to be changing, conforming. But God is consistent. And in the Bible, we see things that are consistent all the way through the Bible. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. And I want to tell you something about God. His greatest attribute, His greatest characteristic is love. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is love. And a lot of people will read the Old Testament and they think, that can't be the same God that's in the New Testament. It is. Did you know Jesus was in the Old Testament? Let me tell you something in case you don't know. Now, most of you know this, but maybe there's one person here that don't know this. God did not create Jesus. Jesus is not a creation of God. Jesus is God. Okay. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're one, but they're three. They're three, but they're one. And that's hard to explain, but let's explain it like this. You are three, but you're one. And you're one, but you're three. Okay? You have a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. It takes those three things to make you. You are three, but you're one. You're one, but you're three. You have three parts. And the Bible addresses all of those three parts. But it takes all of those three to make you. So it takes God the Father, it takes God the Son, and it takes God the Spirit in order to make God. You cannot divide God. And we're going to see that every aspect of God is present in creation and in everything that He does. And He has a way that He does things that's so awesome. And when you learn that, you'll be miles ahead of a lot of people that'll just say, well, you can't ever tell what God's going to do. Well, I know His ways are past finding out, but they're wonderfully consistent. Okay? They're wonderfully consistent. But, you know, I know people think, well, whatever happens is God. No, not everything that happens is God. Not everything that happens is of God. There are some things that the devil does. And I'm amazed at how much credit people give God for things that the devil did. I tell you that might be a little bit dangerous ground. It could be, unless you do it ignorantly. But I want you to know. And you know, one good thing about this movie that we're going to watch Wednesday night, it brings this out big time. Because there are some things that happen in this movie. And if you know someone that has lost someone and are struggling, this might be a good movie for them to come to. Especially if they're blaming God for that loss. Okay, let's get into this. Pictures, and we're in creation. We're talking about the first 3 days of what is called creation. And it says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and empty, waste, and darkness was upon the very great deep. There seems to be a discrepancy here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And one thing that I've learned about God, that when God does something, He does it right. He does it perfectly. But here we see a picture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2 says, and the earth was without form, an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Many Bible scholars think that there was a period of time that elapsed between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And some people don't believe this, and some people do believe this. I believe it's true because Isaiah tells us that God did not create the earth without form. He didn't create it desolate. It became desolate. And many scholars think that what happened in this period of time was the fall of Lucifer. When Lucifer fell, it affected the earth. In God's original creation, that it was perfect. It was the way that it should be. And then there was, and we don't know what this period of time is. I'm not into all of that. You know, we have people think that the earth, they call new earth and old earth. New earth is probably, the earth is only 10,000 years old. Then there's those who think that the earth is billions of years old. Let me give you the answer. I don't know. Let me give you another answer. I don't care. Okay? I do not believe in evolution. I don't believe we came from monkeys. I don't believe that the earth has revolved over billions and billions of years. I don't have the answer to all of that. I don't. We're not even going to address that in this. But I believe that there is a period of time, whether it's one day, 1 year, 100 years, 1,000 years, 3,000 years, or 1 billion years, that things happen, and that the from the original creation till day one of what we call creation, which was really a restoration of the original earth. And so we're going to see some things, and we're going to look at the first 3 days, and we're going to see pictures of the work of God. And they parallel day one, the incarnation, or Jesus becoming flesh. Day two, the work of the cross. And day three, the resurrection from the dead. So today we're going to look at day one. So let's get into this. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the great deep, very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, suitable, pleasant, and he approved it. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Now I believe that these are six literal 24-hour days that it's talking about here. I just say I disagree with that. That's okay. You have the right to be wrong. But I believe that those were 6 days. And say, can you prove that? No. I'm not going to try to. That's just my opinion. And I've got the microphone, so I'm opining my opinion. So you disagree, that's okay. I don't care. But there's some parallels here to Jesus becoming flesh, the incarnation, that I want us to look at. In fact, we're going to look at five today. And these are pretty neat, I think. Number one, let me give you this if you want to write these down. Number one is that there was a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of churches are afraid of the Holy Spirit. I don't want this to be a church that's afraid of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we're going to see in all that God does is that it always involves the Holy Spirit. I was raised in a tradition where we did what we call the Apostles' Creed, and one of the statements that we made in that is, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the dead, and life everlasting. We quoted that every week, but that's probably the only time that the Holy Spirit was ever mentioned. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is present in everything that God does. In fact, we're going to see in this work, and God said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit was hovering there to bring it to pass. It's conceived by the Father. Jesus is the Word. Doesn't it tell us that in John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus, okay? So we see God said he sent forth a word, and the Holy Spirit was hovering there to bring that into being. He says, let there be light, and there was light. So we see that there was a work of the Holy Spirit that took place first. Now, this parallels something that's in the life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel of the Lord comes to talk to Mary. And this is a beautiful picture. See, even though the angel chose Mary, Mary had to choose the message of the angel for it to come to pass. This is a picture of our free will. Even though God chooses us for something and he wants to do a work in our life, he still gets our permission to do it. He doesn't override us. So this angel comes to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And it says this, then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. Now notice the first thing that the angel said. He says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. What was the Holy Spirit doing on day one? He was overshadowing the darkness. He was overshadowing the chaos. He was overshadowing the situation. What was he doing? He was waiting for the word to go forth. And when the word went forth, he took that word and produced what that word said. And what the angel said to Mary, and he says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And that thing which will be conceived in you will be the Son of God. Now, Mary later says, be it unto me even as you have spoken. She received that word that the angel gave. And you know what the Holy Spirit did? He caused to be conceived in her womb, supernaturally, the Son of God. Do I believe in the virgin birth? You bet I do. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. It parallels the thing that happened on day one, as the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. Waiting for what? Waiting for the word to be spoken. And guess what? God said, let there be light. And light be, light was. Mary says, let it be unto me as you have spoken. And she was pregnant with the Son of God. So there's the first parallel that we see. The second one is this. The word issues forth as light. God said what? Light be. Let there be light. And there was what? Light. What was the first thing that was created? Light. Now, this is not talking about sunlight. The sun came into being or was set back into motion later, a day or two later. This was the light of God. See, I believe that everything in creation goes back to light. And not sunlight, it's the light of God. And light represents revelation or understanding. When the angel came to Mary, he says he gave her a revelation of understanding. And what happened was that when she received that revelation of understanding, the thing that was conceived in her was the Son of God. When the Holy Spirit comes to us as believers, and we believe that believers are indwelt by the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit comes to us as believers and gives us that word and we accept that word, guess what happens? There is revelation or understanding that comes to us, and God begins the work in us that transforms us into what He wants us to be. So, the thing that he said here was that the word issues forth as light. Now, I want to read Simeon's statement concerning Jesus when they took him to the temple on the eighth day for circumcision. And he was in the temple and he had prayed. He says, Lord, he was an ancient old dude. And he says, Lord, let me not depart until I see your salvation. And when they brought Jesus forth, he saw Jesus. And basically he prophesied. And he said in verse 30, for with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have ordained and prepared before in the presence of all peoples. Now, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to disclose what was before unknown, and to bring praise and honor and glory to your people, Israel. And he said that Jesus was a what? A light. A light. Now, what did the Holy Spirit bring forth in day one? Light. What is the work of the Holy Spirit in the incarnation? It's light. Jesus was light. And in fact, it says in John 1:14, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the what? Darkness. For the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. So this light shined in the darkness of in day one. And this other light that is Jesus becoming flesh, this light shined in the darkness in the world. And you know what? That darkness did not overpower it. That darkness did not receive it, but that darkness did not overpower it. So here we see, first of all, that the word, we see that there was a work of the Holy Spirit, and the word issues forth as light. This is God's pattern. The first thing that the Holy Spirit brings into us in our daily walk as believers is light. Light. He brings us revelation. He brings us understanding. And why does He do that? So that the Word of God can become flesh in us. How are we transformed? It begins with light. The light of what? The light of the Word of God. The light of the Word of God in our heart that the Holy Spirit reveals to us. This is why it's so important that we be people in the Word. We need to spend time in the Word. Why? Because that is the vehicle that the Holy Spirit uses to bring light, revelation, and understanding that brings the transformation that we need to become more like Christ. If we're truly going to be the body of Christ, we need to be reflections of His light. We need to be reflections of His nature. We need to be reflections of His purpose. So we have to be transformed. While ago, what I said, that we have to be changed from glory to glory. From glory to glory, from light to light. We need to be changed. God doesn't need to be changed because He's perfect. We're not, and we need to be changed. And this is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. The first thing that He brings is light. Revelation, understanding. What do? We embrace it. We conform to it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We need to be transformed by that light that comes from the Word of God. That's consistent all the way through Scripture. You know, before God did anything in the Bible, He would always reveal it through a prophet. He would always say what He was going to do. Why? Because that became the light. And then the Holy Spirit brought that to pass. That's how the Holy Spirit works. See, one of the reasons that we have been so afraid of the Holy Spirit is because that we thought that the Holy Spirit was only an experience. Now, I've been among the Pentecostals and the Charismatics for a long, long time. And many of the Pentecostals and Charismatics has relegated the Holy Spirit to an experience. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is given to us to be a light bearer to our souls so that we can walk in the light as He is in the light. Whoa. Now, I have experienced the Holy Spirit. There are experiences of the Holy Spirit, but He is more than an experience. He's not about just goosebumps. I have had Holy Spirit goosebumps before. I've been in places and the Holy Spirit was so thick, your body reacts to it and you get just goosebumps run all over you, up and down and down and up and inside and out. I've felt that, but many times we have relegated the Holy Spirit to just that. He is a daily part of the believer's life if we will let Him. His job is to bring the light that brings the transformation that we need in our life. See, one mistake that a lot of people make, and I guess the evangelical church is it's to blame for a lot of this. But we are so anxious to get people to make a profession of faith and get them baptized. And many people think that that's all there is. No, that's just the beginning. You know what? When we baptize, we have people make profession of faith. And here's the things that we say. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you repent of your sins? Do you vow before God in this congregation that you're going to live your life for Christ? Because I want people to understand that it's not just about professing something and then forgetting about it and going a different way. See, the initial work of the Holy Spirit was let there be light. Well, what if it stopped there? What if it was just that initial thing of let there be light? There was 5 more days of work to be done in the restoration. I got news for you. When you become a Christian, there's at least 5 more days of work that needs to be done in your life. There's other things that needs to change in your life. You know, when you get saved, it's your spirit that gets saved. Your mind's still goofed up. Look at your neighbor and say, you still goofed up. I start to say, look at your neighbor and say, goofy. No, don't do that. Don't do that. No, we're goofed up in our thinking. There's more work that needs to be done. And as the Holy Spirit brings us that light, we embrace it, that revelation, that understanding. We conform ourselves to it. And you know what? We become more godlike, more godlike, more Christlike. And as we do that, this is an ongoing thing that will happen for the rest of your life. It's not just pray the prayer and you know, get fire insurance. There's things in your life that God wants to change. There's attitudes in your heart that God wants to change because it stinks. It doesn't glorify God. Say, preacher, are you judging me? No. Because I got the same problem. I'm just as goofed up as you are. Well, we're in a mess, aren't we? Wow. No, you say, well, you're way up. No. I may be in a different spot than you're in. I love something T.D. Jakes says, different levels, different devils. We all got devils that we have to deal with. Don't we? We all got areas of thinking that we need to deal with. Mine may be different than yours, and yours may be different than mine, but I have to deal with mine. And I have to try to get you to deal with yours. Sometimes I have to get me to deal with mine. But what we're saying, that the work of the Spirit didn't stop at light. The work of the Spirit does not stop at salvation. The work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus did not stop when He became flesh. It was all the way to the resurrection and the ascension. The Holy Spirit was at work in Him, doing the work that had to do with His purpose for His life. And see, the Bible says that He that has begun a good work in you. When did He begin a good work in you? When He chose you before the foundation of the earth, and He prepared you, and then you received Him. That the work didn't end there. He says He will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And you still have to cooperate with it. But He is at work performing His purpose for our lives. Quit resisting Him. He will not hurt you. If you will follow His plan, it will be a blessing. Quit being afraid. Somebody need to hear that. I'm afraid. Well, quit being afraid. Okay. Back to my notes. Number three. The light was approved by God. The light was approved by God. It says, and God saw the light, that the light was good. God called the light good. In Luke chapter 9, verse 35, it says, then there came a voice out of the cloud saying, and this was at the transfiguration, when Jesus took three of His disciples and went into this place on the mountain. He was transfigured before them. And God speaks from heaven. He says, hey, this is My Son, My chosen one, and My beloved. Listen and yield and obey Him. At His baptism, it says, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know what God said about Jesus? He is good. You know what He said about light? It is good. There's a parallel there. Remember, Jesus is called the what? Light. He's the light to the Gentiles, and He's a light to Israel. So the light was approved by God. Now, number four, the light was separated from darkness. It said in Genesis, and God separated the light from the darkness. You know, He didn't call the darkness good. He called the light good. Now, there's a type here. This is easy. We represent dark with what? Evil. Light with good. God called the light good. And then He separated the light from the darkness. Hebrews 7:26 says this. Here is the high priest, talking about Jesus, perfectly adapted to our needs, as was fitting, holy, blameless, unstained by sin, separated from sinners, and exalted higher than the heavens. This says that He was separated from sinners. You know why? Because He was blameless. See, Jesus never sinned. If you believe that Jesus sinned, then you got a faith problem. You've got a trust issue. If Jesus sinned, then he couldn't be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And there have been surveys done of evangelical believers, and they ask them the question, did Jesus ever sin? And a great majority of them thinks that Jesus sinned. If Jesus sinned, then he's not the Messiah. He's not the Son of God. If Jesus sinned, then we are still in our sins. Okay? So he separated the light from the darkness. He separated it. Jesus was undefiled. He separated them. Then number five, the light was named by God, and God called the light day. Luke 1:30. This is the angel talking to Mary. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. God named the light day, and he named the son Jesus. So what do we see? We are seeing a pattern. We're seeing a flow of how God works, because this reveals his heart. This reveals his nature. This reveals his consistency. And you can look all the way through Scripture and you will see patterns of how God works and understands. You know, people say sometimes God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Well, you think, well, you can't ever tell what God's going to do. Understand your Bible. You will see the pattern of how God operates. Yes, his ways are wonderful and marvelous and past finding out. But know this, that he will always be consistent with his own nature. He will never do anything outside of his own nature. He cannot. Let me restate. I said he will not. He cannot. He will be true to who he is. Even when we're not faithful, he abides faithful. I am so glad. You know, there's two things. I am so glad that you're not God. I am so glad that I'm not God. Why? Because I am not always consistent. But he is always consistent. And when we begin to see the patterns and the flows of Scripture, how that God moves and how he operates, and we see that he is a restorer and a redeemer and a lover. Because, you know, how many of you are still reading your Bibles through the year? Understand this. We're fixing to get into some hard stuff that'll make you wonder if that God in the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same God. Yes, it's the same God. Jesus was there in the Old Testament in agreement when God did all that stuff. But when you begin to look at the beginning and you see the original intent of God, you'll know that his heart has always been to bless. Sometimes people put him in a position through disobedience that does not allow him to do that, because he will not be inconsistent with who he is. God will not bless unrighteousness. Ooh, it got quiet when I said that. See, sometimes we want to make excuses for our unrighteousness. God does not bless unrighteousness. That's one of the reasons Jesus had to come to take our unrighteousness on himself, so that God could give us a gift called salvation. But listen, the Old Testament, where when God judged, it was after much, 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 much mercy was extended. And he was already, he was always there when people repented to restore them right back to where they needed to be. His intent is never to condemn. And even sometimes when he had to condemn, he always left the door open for grace. Honestly, Israel basically has rejected God in rejecting Messiah. But God has left a door open to Israel, and much of it is hidden in this Old Testament. And when their blinders are taken off and they begin to see Messiah in the Old Testament and they turn to Christ, guess what? They're going to be restored to the place that they need to be. That's why we need to pray for Israel. That's why we're for Israel. I heard the other day that particular denomination had embraced, basically had become anti-Semitic. And I'm thinking, how can we come to the place that we are against Israel? Our faith was birthed through Israel. We are intricately connected with Israel. Even though they have rejected our Messiah, our prayer for them is that they will receive our Messiah because he will become their salvation. And when they do, look out, Johnny. Look out, devil. Because something big is going to happen. I don't believe we'll be here when that takes place. But you get a Jew that finds Messiah, he is passionate. And when the nation of Israel comes to Messiah, they will be passionate. And we need to be praying for that to happen. Okay, I'm going to ask prayer team to come. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. We want to pray. One of the things that we always want to pray about, if you're here, you've never made Jesus your Messiah, your Lord,